Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I got 3 points I want to share from Psalm 51. I preached Psalm 51 at different times in the ministry. I've got 3 simple points I want to share with you and trust that God will bless. I want to build. My desire is to kind of follow up last Sunday morning's message on revival. I am again this morning going to preach on revival. By the way, there are a lot of people in the Church of Jesus Christ today that really don't know, they don't know the score. Now, I want you to look around this morning. This isn't a capacity crowd. It's a good crowd. But we've got a few empty spots there. There's a couple right here, a couple back there. I see a spot or two there, and a couple over here. And we have got to get desperate about reaching the world for Christ. Oh, I pray that you'll wake up and smell the coffee, Christian. You'll wake up and you'll understand the days in which we are living. It's a sad thing when you don't know the score. Every time I think that thought comes to my mind, I think of men's basketball league years ago here at Fundamental Baptist Church. We're playing in a town league, and I wasn't a great basketball player. I never really practiced basketball all my life. I never played it in high school, but I was a natural, you know, just one of those guys that could just kind of play things like that. And I remember it was tournament time, and it was the end of the game, and the clock was ticking away, and I got the ball, and we got a 1-point lead. And I brought it over the half-court line, and I was just stunning everybody with my dribbling skills. And I was keeping the ball away from, and everybody's yelling and shouting. Our bench was yelling and shouting. The crowd that was there was yelling and shouting, and the seconds were ticking away. 3, 2, 1. We won. I throw the basketball up in the air. I'm jumping up and down and celebrating, and everybody on our bench and all my teammates were just kind of staring at me in stunned silence. They said, "We lost." I said, "What? I didn't know the score. We weren't ahead by one. We were behind by one." Very embarrassing. But listen, there are those in the Church of Jesus Christ. You don't know it, but Jesus is coming again very soon. You don't understand the situation and the culture and all that's taking place. And we are living in the very days that the Apostle Paul wrote about. And the last days, perilous times will come. Dangerous times will come. We are here. Man, if America ever needed revival, it is today. I hope I say this. I hope I remember to say this 10 different ways in the message this morning. But some of us need to ask God to visit our house this week. We need to ask God. I know what I'm saying. I know God's omnipresent. I know who God is all about, what he's all about. But some of our homes, it's like God isn't even there. We need revival. There are church houses all over America, and it's like God isn't even there. It's a gathering place for the religious elite, or it's an entertainment center, or it's a place you come together and show off your new clothes, and it's like God isn't even there. If America ever needed revival, it needs revival in the year 2015. And I stand before you, before we get to the text this morning, and tell you that Fundamental Baptist Church needs a revival from God above. It's not like we've arrived. And if you think we've arrived, you got it all backwards. And we're going to read what David said. David was so, here's my first point. He was so hungry for God. I hope no one here is satisfied with where they are spiritually. Every single one of us, Paul said, "I count not myself to have arrived, to have apprehended." He said, "I know I haven't arrived. I press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God." You need a better pastor. You need better assistant pastors. You need better Sunday school teachers. We need better pew sitters. We need sinners that are saved by grace, that are striving to be more like Jesus. We need that old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Spirit revival. not wildfire, but I mean where the pews are set on fire for God, where people are striving and wanting to live for God. 2 Samuel, we won't turn back there because there's three different passages I want to look at, and we really don't have time to look at this passage. And 2 Samuel in chapter 12 and verses 1 through 13, that's the setting for Psalm 51, where the prophet Nathan comes to King David, who had committed adultery secretly, had committed adultery and had committed murder and thought he committed the perfect crime. The prophet Nathan comes to Daniel, sticks his pointed finger in the nose of the king and said, "Thou art the man." That's the message we need to hear this morning. Listen to the word of God. It's not me saying it. Listen to the word of God. Thou art the man, or thou art the woman. You and I, we're the ones that have sinned. We're the ones that have short-circuited the power of God. Don't think, well, don't be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not so bad. Don't do that. That means you're the one in desperate need of revival. The closer you get to God, the more you realize what a terrible sinner you are. You know, the closer you get to God, the more you understand you are anything but holy. And David was hungry that it would be like it used to be. Look at verses 1 through 3 in Psalm 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Hear what David's saying. He's saying, David's saying, God, I'm hungry for your fellowship again. God, I'm hungry that it would be like this whole psalm is about. God, make it like it used to be before I committed that horrible sin. God, make me clean. He says, have mercy upon me. David had committed a capital crime. He had broken three commandments of the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue. He was worthy of death. He deserved to die. You and I deserve to die. We deserve to go to hell. I don't deserve the Son of God. I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve to have a God that loves me in heaven, who's holy and righteous. I deserve to go to hell. That's why David cried out, "Have mercy upon me, O God." We have got to get desperate for revival. There's got to be, it'll start with one person. There's got to be someone that just get a hold of God and will not let go until there's a Holy Spirit revival. We can't take care of all of the world. We can't take care of all of America. We can't take care of another church, but we can take care of our own backyard. I can't take care of you, but I can take care of my heart. I can get it right with God. Now, we got to make this personal this morning. You know what's stopping revival? Me as an individual. You're the one stopping revival. Get hungry for God. Verse 2. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." David said, there's a lot of different ways of thinking about it, but David said, "I want God again. I long." I wasn't there, but I long for the days of the Billy Sunday Tabernacles, the Sawdust Trail, and millions of people coming to Christ. I long. I wasn't there. You might think I'm old enough to have been there, but I wasn't there when D.L. Moody stood in the pulpit. I got a recording. It's available to anybody that wants to Google it. I used to have a hard recording of it, of D.L. Moody in 1899 reading the Beatitudes. And just to hear his voice thrills my soul. I'm thinking, there's a guy that God used to shake two continents for God. I long for the days of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, where the Metropolitan Tabernacle was so full that people, they got tickets in order to come to church, and it was standing room only. Where hundreds of people were in the lower level praying while Spurgeon preached. I long for the days of Jonathan Edwards and the Great Awakening. And he preached the sermon entitled "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And God shook America. And I'm telling you, it can happen again. It can. In fact, don't sit back and pine for days of yesteryear and waste the present. our old school gathering, whether you recognize it or not, it's like old homecoming. It's gotten to the place where it's like old homecoming week for the pastors of Northern Michigan. They all come together. They see a church on fire for God. They see one another. And man, it's like homecoming night. And it's just a wonderful time. And it's uplifting. And God, and you know, they think all year long, they think about that old school gathering. Man, that's the way it's supposed to be, that spirit of revival all of the time. And I'm just saying, it's not over. You're longing for the good old days? Hear the word of God this morning. Hear this preacher who's just a sinner saved by grace telling you by way of the eye of faith, the old time religion is not over. All we got to do is provide, make ourselves ready, prepare the table, and God will visit again. Get my heart right, prepare my household, and God will visit again. Get the church ready, provide the kindling, provide the tinder, provide the place where the fire can fall, and God will visit again. Let's go back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. That's what I preached last Sunday, and let me just share something with you here real quickly. Oh, prior to that, Nehemiah chapter 7. I got to read this. Nehemiah chapter 7 and verses 7 through 9. Uh-oh, that's not it. Uh-oh, let me think here. Look at verse chapter 5. Oh my goodness, I can't read my writing and I don't know where it is. Here's the deal. Let me tell you. You trust me. Read the book of Nehemiah, all right? All right. In the book of Nehemiah, the people of God had turned to idolatry. And because they had turned to idolatry, God allowed the captivity to come their way. And they went into captivity for 7 years, 70 years. Now go to Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'll just read what I know here, all right? And chapter 8 and verse 1. And I preached this last Sunday morning. The people of God were taken into captivity. Oh, I know what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about Amos. I'm thinking about Amos. And there was a famine in the land of the word of God. The prophet Amos, he was prophesying to Israel, he was prophesying to Judah, and he was saying, there's a famine going to come because you have neglected God, and you'll cry, there'll be a famine of the word of God, and you'll cry out for it, and it won't be there. That was the 70 years captivity that he was prophesying concerning. Now they're back in the land, and Nehemiah in chapter 8, last Sunday morning's message, what did the people ask for? The word of God. Give us the word of God. It says in verse 1, it says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man under the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear and understand with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And my sermon was all of that chapter. And the people shouted, amen. They were hearing the word of God. And they had great respect for the word of God. Here's the point. Amos said, the day is coming, Israel, when there'll be a famine of the Bible. There'll be a famine of the word of God because you have neglected it. God is going to chastise us as a nation because we won't listen to the book. It took them 70 years and they finally get back into the land and the walls are built. The temple has been rebuilt. And there was only one thing missing and the people cried out, give us the word of the Lord. Go get the book. Bring it out, Ezra, and read it to us. In the year 2015, there is a famine of the Word of God in the United States of America. You say, I know about churches everywhere. They're not preaching the Bible. And there is a famine. And people just come to church, come as you are, leave as you were. Ha, ha, ha. God is good. You know, God is great. Thank you for our food. Amen. And that's how level the spirituality is. And there's sin rampant in the church. And rampant in the culture. We've got to get desperate. We've got to get hungry for God. In the Bayless Library, I was just showed this morning. A man in the church showed it to me. Is that right now? Am I right now? In the Bayless Library, there is a display for the LGBT crowd. Red, you know, all the rainbow colors. That's the gay, lesbian, transgender crowd. You understand that? Little boys and little girls going to the public library, and there it is, bold as everything. And you don't think our culture is dark. By the way, I'm not homophobic, and I'm not a hater. Jesus died for all sinners. He died for everybody. But God told us right and wrong. It's that simple, black and white. Local high school, two of our boys go to Skill Center. They go to Skill Center, and their eyes were open. Somehow, some way, the gay lifestyle was talked about among all the young men there in that welding class. I didn't ask, there could have been young ladies there as well. Everybody thought that Justice and Jacob were nuts because they said they felt it was a sin. And they took a strong stand. And they told me, said, I can't believe. You know, it was like everybody there. They think it's fine. I'm telling you, it's the culture that we're living in. Now, the young people today, they think, well, that's the way it's always been. Let me tell you something from an old geezer who's 58 years of age. That isn't the way it's always been. And America was not this way before. And everything is changing. We're ripe for a revival, though. We're ready right now for the fire of God to fall if God's people will get right. Go back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. David was hungry for God. He had gotten desperate for God. God revived the pulpit. God set fires in the pews. God helped everybody to get it going for God. Nothing else would do. No one else could deliver. David wanted God. Period. If we're going to have revival, we've got to get hungry for God. Verses 4 through 6, Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the hidden parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. David was honest with God. Verse 4, quit pretending you're fine and that you've arrived. I don't care how old you are in the Lord, you still have to grow because you are not perfect. I don't care how much of the Bible you think you know. The truth is, if you've stopped studying it, you've forgotten some. And you're going backwards. And the messages of the world, they're still coming in. They're coming in from every direction. You know what makes me want to puke? Religious politics. People politicking for position in the family of God. Oh, I hate that. I hate that among my preacher brethren. I got a lot of good preacher brethren. They hate that as well. And that's the crowd I just kind of stay away from. Who wants to be a big shot anyway? I'd rather be a little squirt for the glory of God and just walk humbly before God. Hero worship and that kind of thing, man. That's just out of it as far as I'm concerned. Verse 4, quit pretending you're fine and that you've arrived. Verse 6, God wants people that are real. Hypocrisy is repulsive to God. David here says in verse 6, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You know the inside, the you that nobody else knows? Are you right with God? The you that you think nobody else ever sees and only you know about? And God? Really, are you right with God? What's your life all about? Or are you in great need of revival? Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. Pinpoint the unrighteousness and confess it to God. Say, man, I'm glad you're preaching this way this morning because my wife needs to hear this. I'm glad you're preaching this morning because my no good husband, boy, he needs to hear this. Loosen your halo, saint. My brother, my sister, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. And if we're going to have revival, we've got to take it personal. It's got to be climbed down from your self-made throne. You are not God's gift of holiness. Get your black heart right with God. Then revival is going to fall. Let me read on through the psalm. Psalm 51, verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I have preached this expositorily I don't know how many times in the ministry here, and I trust you have understanding to all these verses that we are reading, and there's so much I'm just skipping over because I want to hit these three points. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Are you ashamed of your sin? Are you ashamed of your sin before God? David said, hide my sins, blot out my iniquities. Said, God, I'm so ashamed. This is the man after God's own heart. Said, I'm so ashamed. God, just take it all away. Hide it under the blood. Take it away. Make me clean so that I can be used of you again. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Verse 10. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't take God for granted. David wrote this with limited information, limited light, didn't have the New Testament. God's telling him exactly what to write, and David's sharing his heart, but God's telling him exactly what to write, and David blurts out, God, don't leave me. Cast me not away. You know why he was saying that? He recognized he's still a sinner. Revival will never come until we recognize that. I still have not arrived. Here he is, the spiritual leader, the great king of Israel, and he recognizes, he said, God, I'm ashamed. I am ashamed. Don't cast me aside. Verse 11. Oh, by the way, and we live in the day of grace. And many a child of God, they live like God is never going to judge their sin. And like God doesn't see their sin. And like God won't finally set them aside. Not talking about losing salvation, but just be set aside and raise up someone else. Take the blessing of God's hand of blessing off of your life and just kind of set it aside. God says he's going to do that. Paul said his greatest fear is that he would be unapproved, that he'd become a castaway, that God would set him on the shelf and he could no longer be used of God. What a right, what a privilege, not a right, but what a privilege we have to serve God. You ought to be ashamed of your sin. I ought to be ashamed of my sin. Verse 11 says, or verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. He'd committed murder. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou criest... Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David was hungry for God. David was honest with God about his own sin. And David was humble before God. He said, Lord, I understand you don't desire the sacrifices of this world, but a broken and a contrite heart. It might be that revival hasn't come because we're not humble. It might be that the power of God hasn't fallen upon your household because you think you're something you're not. It might be you've gotten to the place, I'm just preaching where people live now, well, you've been saved long enough and you've come here long enough, you've heard the Word of God enough that you know the program. And you try to be right with God when you're at church, but when you go home, you flip a switch. And you ought to be ashamed of that kind of lifestyle. We all need to practice the presence of God. Hungry, honest, and humble. 2 Chronicles 7:14. How about turning over there? 2 Chronicles 7:14. I really wasn't going to preach, even read this morning, but I think I will. Before I read the verse, just a short text. Before I read it, I just want to say it because it rings. I know it's true. You and I, we don't deserve God. We don't deserve God's Son. We don't deserve Calvary. I don't deserve forgiveness. I'm not something special. I'm a sinner. And here's the good part. Saved by grace. I've gotten born again. There needs, I need that spirit of revival. I need to walk with God. I started the message out by saying this. We need to just set the table. That's all we got to do, and to take our hands off of it. Let God do His work. We need to just provide the kindling so that when the fire falls, it flames. We need to get our houses right, our homes. We need to get the church right. Now, I say that, and you could hear that wrongly. We just need to get our lives prepared for God. And if we do that, I'm telling you, the old-time religion can be had again. I mean, it isn't too late for revival. In fact, I'll say this. God has given us this chance right now for revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, Christians, shall humble themselves, I see Psalm 51 in here, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our only hope is God. In America, our only hope is God. In your home and in my home, our only hope is God, the God of the Bible. He said, you get ready, and I'll come. Humble yourselves and pray. Can't work up revival, but we can pray it down. We can get things ready. Next week, we're having revival meetings with Dr. Smith, great preacher. Built a great church in Maryland before he ever became editor of the Sword of the Lord. It's still a great church to this day. We're going to have Joe Arthur with us. There's a great preacher, and he's a humble man. God has sent two messengers our way, and if we're ready, revival will come. And it'll be a great week. And I'm telling you, just a beginning, this could be the greatest late spring and summer that we've ever had if we'll get ready. But if we don't get ready, wouldn't that be something if it was our last chance for revival?
Thank you for listening to Dr. Tim Rader at Fundamental Baptist Church. We would like to invite you to our special old-fashioned revival meetings with Dr. Sheldon Smith, editor of Sword of the Lord, and Dr. Joe Arthur, nationwide speaker and pastor of Harvest Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Services are May the 3rd through the 6th. Sunday service, 10 and 11 a.m. with a 6 p.m. service. Monday through Wednesday, 7 p.m.